This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And a good Tuesday morning to you and yours. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here in Franklin, Kentucky at the Mint Gaming Hall. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Got a great show lined up on this Tuesday, my friend. Greg Peterson, of course, going to join us. Before or after his run, Jensen, we don't know if he's run yet this early in the morning out there in the desert. Get his thoughts on the Major League Baseball slate today. Bo Bishop from your neck of the woods, right there in Cleveland, Ohio, talking all things Cleveland Browns a little bit later on this morning. And Jim Duquette, the Duke, back on the program today. A lot of changing places here in Major League Baseball as we get closer and closer to the All-Star break. But Jensen, very quickly, with the results yesterday, every day, are those GMs, front offices, making new decisions as to what they're going to do come trade deadline time?
Definitely are. Some horrendous beats. Bullpens melting down again yesterday. Just one of those times where whiskey and a revolver, as Paulie Howard would say, that you have to have when you go bet Major League Baseball. We're getting down to it, though. Some teams going to have to make some decisions maybe in the next 24 to 48 hours, knowing the assets that they have available to them. So a lot of movement here with the tectonic plates shifting in the trade market. No question about it.
It's a good point that every day it feels like bullpen. Like some teams are really going to want to shore up that bullpen. And we saw some of those bullpens tested specifically with Philadelphia. And that's where we begin today's edition of our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Fighting fish. We're headed for 13 straight losses, and then they get to the Phillies pen and flip that script in that 12-game losing skid and come back and get an 8-7 win there. We saw the Mariners early in the day really get out early against Seattle and don't look back there to take the season series. That is significant, 7-3 there. But Jensen, you mentioned the bullpens and Philadelphia. If this is a team now that we all look at and say, boy, they could really challenge for the Dodgers, I think they might be one of those teams we're talking about before the trade deadline.
Well, what's remarkable about the Phillies is, again, they were trailing 5-2. And let's keep an eye on maybe the status of Zach Wheeler. He did not look good leaving in the third inning. The velocity was down about a couple of miles an hour, uncharacteristically hit around pretty hard here by Miami. But the Phillies, again, with the way that the Marlins had been struggling with their own bullpen here during that 12-game losing streak, Philly found a way not only to get back, but would take the lead, two-run lead into the ninth inning, and then all hell broke loose. Juan Duran with only his second blown save of the year. Of course, Dave, it would happen when we have Philly's money line and the Phillies run line. Thank you very much, Juan Duran. You are not getting any Christmas presents this year. As it stands, Dave Dombrowski probably going to be in the market for a leverage reliever. We know offensively they're going to be looking for reinforcements. And I got to tell you, let's keep an eye on the Zach Wheeler situation. If indeed there are issues moving forward, they will certainly be in for Tarek Skubal here in the next couple of days.
It did feel like he was one of those picks that we were looking at. If you're looking for a dark horse, if you will, to win Cy Young. After that outing yesterday, he has drifted back to 12-1 in the Cy Young balloting here, at least in the betting market. Christopher Sanchez, his own teammate there, is up at +750. The Miz, after another good outing a couple of days ago, is back to -350. So note that in the betting market here after that outing yesterday. We mentioned Texas getting that big win against Seattle. Here, Jensen, they win the season series against the M's. How significant is that here in late July?
Well, it's massive because if you look at where we are from a standing standpoint, you know, the Mariners avoided disaster by at least getting one of the four games. But now the Rangers up 2.5 games, might as well make it 3.5 because of that season series tiebreaker. It's the Astros. Your Astros refuse to die. Kent Rosenthal called them the cockroaches of Major League Baseball here in the last 10 years. They just will not die. They steal one in Anaheim. They score four. If you had Angels money line, pour one out for you as well. Oof. What a terrible beat there in the ninth inning there. But Houston stays alive. Dana Brown, their GM, and Jim Crane, their owner, they don't know what the word seller means. And I would hardly envision them looking to offload any assets. Much more, they'd probably be looking to try and buy here at this deadline.
So it looks like Alvarez, it could be one of those big guys we're talking about that he's not going to change places, right, Jensen? That you got a Triple Crown winner possibly right there. You're only two games back of winning that division. And right now, those divisional prices after that comeback last night against Anaheim, Texas is odds on at minus $1.10. It's Seattle plus $1.75, even though they're in third place. And it's the Astros who have taken over second place here two games back. They are 4-1. So interesting, if they do become buyers, could they really make the push here and catch up with Texas all the way? That'll be interesting to watch as we go forward. Cody Bellinger, we talked about this a little bit on the program yesterday. He's expected to be out a significant amount of time here, 4 to 6 weeks. You start doing that math of the rest of the regular season with a grade two hammy situation going with Aaron Judge. And again, Jensen, we talked about it. We're not doctors, but you get that news. Well, you get upwards of 6 weeks. We're getting really close to the end of the year here.
Yep. And you're hoping and you're crossing fingers and toes if you're a Bronx Bomber fan that it is on the short side, that they can get him back at the beginning of September, because you are going to need a little on-ramp here to get major league at bats. And Dave, let's be honest, it's not like the Yankees have assured themselves of a playoff spot and have the ability like the Dodgers to have patience of working their guys back from the injured list. The Yankees, they do have a cushion in the wild card. They are 6.5 up as far as, you know, being the top wild card. But the problem is you now have no Judge for the foreseeable future. You don't have Bellinger for the foreseeable future. People are going to start pitching around Ben Rice even more so than they have been before. This is going to get dicey here for the Yankees. And I got to tell you, Dave, when you look at their upcoming schedule, batting it down here, you got three more against the White Sox tonight. They did come back and get the victory after trailing 3-0 last night to win 9-5. And then they'll stay in the Windy City and head up to the north side and take on the Cubs for three before they come back home against St. Louis. So it is going to be offensively challenged. And yeah, they're not only making a trade, Dave, they may be going for a couple of bats now just to get through the end of the regular season and try and punch their ticket to October.
Okay, they are minus 5,000 to make the postseason. Plus, they're 18-1 on the no price. I'm just throwing that out there. You're looking at that no price. It's almost getting close to 20-1 right now. That might be something we have to earmark here, Jensen, and revisit, especially we'll see what they do by the trade deadline. But if you back that no price and they don't make any substantial moves, we expect them to do so, that could be a very interesting ticket to have going forward. This is interesting. We talked about Patrick Mahomes yesterday. He's cleared for duty and takeoff here for the Chiefs. How about Daniel Jones? It looks like he is good to go. He had a multitude of injuries last year with the broken leg, and then that's what he was playing on, that broken leg, for a while. And then, of course, he was out in the Week 12 game against Jacksonville for the rest of the year, and their season just took a nosedive. It almost feels like we forgot about him a little bit, Jensen, but this has got to be really good news for Colts backers too, that if you're a full participant in camp, we have to assume that barring a setback, he should be good to go for week one.
We will talk with our resident Colts enthusiast, Jonathan Von Tobel, tomorrow and get his thoughts on where he stands on the Daniel Jones bandwagon. Listen, you're going to want him right away because it is the Baltimore Ravens you've got right out of the chute. Nothing easy about that matchup, as we well know. But again, this is an AFC South. We've started to kind of tackle in earnest here. I know you're a huge fan of the Tennessee Titans, thinking that they are going to be drastically improved. You look at the Jaguars now becoming the hunted and not the hunters. And oh, by the way, D'Amico Ryan's Houston Texans are looking for a little bit of revenge on their mind after a really dismal finish to their season. So a lot is going to be predicated on having a healthy Daniel Jones and a competent Daniel Jones right from the get-go. Dave, that schedule, Baltimore, Kansas City, Houston to start. If you're a Colts fan, that is as tough as it gets right out of the chute.
You know, just a broken leg and Achilles tear. That's it. But he's going to be back ready to go for week one. It's amazing what we do in this day and age here. Hoping for the best for Danny Dimes. We'll talk about him a little bit later on in this program as well. This was interesting news, I thought, out of Tampa. That big Vita Vea. Yeah. All of a sudden, it's a two-time Pro Bowler. He's been there for 8 years. And kind of when you think of the identity of that Bucs defense, Jensen, this is the guy you think of. And now he says he wants out. Now, this could be chicken. We're playing a little chicken here because he wants a new deal. It's the last year of a four-year deal that he has in Tampa. But when that big man says he wants out, if we're playing hardball here, Jensen, this feels like if you're backing the Bucks in any way, shape, or form, you better have Vita Vea in the front of that defense.
David, here at VEASAN, you are a resident expert on radars as someone who has used it in real life. What does your radar pick up on a threat level here for the Bucks? I mean, the statistics from last year, remember, they were 25th in yards per play, averaging 5.7 passing yards per game at 238.2. That was 27th. You're looking at this Todd Bowles defense, and we know how much run stopping ability is huge. Looking at the running backs that'll be in this NFC South, I beg your pardon, 1 to 10, 10 being DEFCON, two here. Where are we on the panic meter if you're a Bucks fan this morning?
I would just say, to go back to a few good men, under oath, would you say he was in grave danger? Is there another kind? I think that's what you get in these type of situations here, Jensen. I got to have Vita Vea or we're at DEFCON 10. We've got a red flag going up right now, and I need to make sure that this big man is happy. I can't tell you the finances and what they're looking at in the contract years that he wants an extension, but that's a guy I want to keep happy. If I'm betting the Bucks this year, which I am not, if I were to be betting that team and Vita Vea is not a part of it this late as we get to training camp, Jensen, that is a bridge over troubled waters right there in Tampa. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk some more NFL here as well, some other notable deals and some things that we're talking about here in context of whether or not it's going to affect, say, Daniel Jones and company with the Indianapolis Colts and whether or not they're a bettable team, because I have my doubts. We'll talk about that in Major League Baseball. It's craziness as we get closer to August right here on VEASAN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VEASAN Pro. With VEASAN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VEASAN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VEASAN by the Books right here on VEASAN.
The NFL preseason is only a couple weeks away, and this is your last chance to lock in early bird pricing in our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next week. You can get instant access to our NFL betting guide covering futures, win totals, divisional races, and player props. Then how about this? August 3rd, you're going to get our college football betting guide, and it's going to be a preview of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from all of our VEASAN experts. You're also going to get the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide featuring over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. Get full VEASAN Pro access through the Super Bowl with daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VEASAN Watch app before this price goes up on August 1st. So head over to VEASAN.com/subscribe right now. That's VEASAN.com/subscribe. Jensen, that college football betting guy, we're going to have Adam Burke on tomorrow's program as well. So we'll talk about Berkey, how busy it is always this time of year with football right around the corner. Are you done with your selections for the college football betting guide? I did enter one of my big ones yesterday.
Yeah, I all the conference champion picks. I do have my final four, my national title game, and my eventual national champion. Two best bet write-ups from me. One that is actually a parlay make the college football playoff. I think people will kind of like where my headspace is there. And then one just single play on a team to make the college football playoff. So we go a little more chalk on one of them, and then we go a little chaos candidate, if you will, on another one. So be ready for it. I know everyone else is burning the midnight oil right now. Deadlines today, August 3rd. We got trade deadline. College football betting guide comes out. What a time to be alive, Dave. Dave, we have football. We have professional athletes on a football field. Next week, they hit each other legally. Next week. Can't wait to get it going, man.
And the reason why we can't tell you what our selections are now, because you have to get the betting guide. Okay, that's called a tease, people, right? So We will talk about Jensen's picks, my selections as well, right here in the network. But that is after the big reveal that we're going to have for the college football betting guide that's coming out in a matter of days at this juncture. So we're very, very excited about that. We mentioned Danny Dimes here with the Colts, and I do want to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about it as the days and certainly the weeks lead up to the regular season. And I almost feel like he was kind of that forgotten guy last year. It was a remarkable start. 7-1, 8-2, and then he had the broken fibula. And again, I'm no doctor. He was playing on a broken leg, essentially. And then the Achilles goes against the Jags. That was when, I believe that was week 14. And then they were done for the rest of the year. And Jensen, they did not win nary a game without him. So you go from 8-2 to 8-9, and that's where you end up, right? So, you know, we always talk about quarterbacks and head coaches, at least I do, in my breakdowns. I mean, proof's in the pudding there. When you don't win another game, when he goes out for the remainder of the year, remember Philip Rivers has to come in at the end of the year. It became kind of a sideshow at the end of this thing. Before we hear about Daniel Jones and kind of where he is, what do you make of what that second half of the year was without him? Because you hate to say that if you lose your leader and you lose your quarterback, that the season is over. But clearly, we can just go back to that example, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, listen, this was one of the best teams in the AFC, the way they were going. Jonathan Taylor was set up to have a historic season with the production that he had put together, and then the bottom falls out. And many times, Dave, you know, we've seen that occur in years past. I look towards this year and kind of anticipating what we could see from this group. And, you know, there's going to be a lot predicated on how they start. I'll re-mention the beginning of their schedule.
That's brutal.
Home against Baltimore, then in Arrowhead for Sunday Night Football, and then a divisional matchup with the Texans. You don't even get to catch your breath after that, because then you got to get on the bird and go across the pond and play the Commanders in London, and then come back with no bye week, Dave. And then you got to go play the Steelers on the road before you have the Titans at home. That is as brutal a start, the first six weeks of a schedule, that we may have for a team that does not have a sure thing with their quarterback. They're going to have to see some of Daniel Jones in the preseason to make sure he's right. And I'm sure the player, Dave, is going to want the reps just for mental clarity of like, hey, we're good. Man. This is how it feels. This is what I need to do. I'm telling you, man, this is, I know I ask you a lot about Survivor, and it's always great to start mapping out. And I know it's still early, but we can kind of look towards situational spots here.
Sure.
And there are no kings in this country, Dave, but we are the kings of handicapping the international games. I would have to wonder if it would be an auto fade spot for the Colts coming back home with no bye week between week four and then head into week five on the road. As long as Aaron Rodgers is healthy, I mean, wouldn't that be an auto fade spot for you, for the Colts there, as far as maybe a survivor pick goes?
Well, you know, maybe the wide receiver one, we'll find out, DK Metcalf, of course, there in Pittsburgh, but they've got Michael Pittman there too, the old Colt. So he's going to want revenge in the brain there against his old guys in Pittsburgh. No bye week, as you mentioned, coming out of London. It's just odd what the schedule makers have done to them early in the year. I mean, it could be a real dismal start to this team. Now, for Daniel Jones's perspective, he was on Pat McAfee's show yesterday, and Jensen just wants to know, everybody know, kind of like we heard from Patrick Mahomes, we played that yesterday right here in VSiN by the Books, that he is good and that he has checked all those check marks and those boxes that you need to be able to play in week number one.
Yesterday, you said something along the lines of you feel good and you're going to be back for week one. What does that mean exactly? And where do we sit right now as we're about to enter training camp starting tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I think, plan is to be back in 11-on-11 full team drills tomorrow or Wednesday when we start up practice. So be out there with the guys, excited to get back rolling, but feeling good. And rehab's been good to this point. Still some work to do as we get ready for week one, but feeling really good with where I am.
If you're watching that on FanDuel Sports Network, if you're watching that YouTube TV, you saw Pat McAfee's shock face there, Jensen. What? He's going to be ready to go week one? look, there's a little, playing a little coy there, right? That like Daniel's telling you what he feels like he's going to be ready for 11-on-11s. You mentioned preseason. It'll be interesting to see if Shane Steichen Great stuff. If you're watching this at home, you know, he says, I'll be ready to go. I wonder if Shane Steichen plays him in the preseason, though, Jensen. You mentioned getting the reps back and just feeling good about, you know, being back in that rhythm. But you know what would happen if he, God forbid, he goes out there in preseason and got hurt again. Everybody's going to go, Shane Steichen's got to get fired. How can you play him in a meaningless game? Just get him ready for week one. Where would you be on that spectrum?
Man. Okay. So for me as a player, I would want some sort of game action. If it's a series or two, I don't think you can hold the head coach accountable for that because of the nature of not only the injury, but look who you got behind him. You got to know, right? Otherwise, it's pivoting to Anthony Richardson or Riley Leonard. I don't think we want to get to talking Easton Stick here just yet, although we'll probably see a lot of him. But I think there's going to be a level of balance where if I'm Daniel Jones, I am going to my head coach and saying, I need a couple of week two of the preseason, the old dress rehearsal, you know, maybe give me a couple extra in the game just so I can feel it. I just want to feel it so I can put my head on the pillow and be like, we're going to be all right. Because you better with the Ravens and what they're going to want to do with Jesse Minter coming out. All right. This has been a team that's been pretty damn good as far as, you know, what they like to do on offense in week one. Here's the thing I want to throw at you, Dave, and it's been a great part of our VSiN NFL betting guide. Mentioned a fade spot for the Colts potentially in week five and Survivor coming back from London. Week one might be an auto bet on the Indianapolis Colts. 10-2 ATS head-to-head against Baltimore in their last 12.
Wow.
And the under is 13-2 in the last 15. Now, hey, we're all going to make sure everyone's healthy and good to go, but wait, barring anything unforeseen, that's a pretty solid week one trend, both on the total and against the number as well.
I really do like that spot for the under. We talked about this game a couple weeks ago, as a matter of fact, can't you just see this kind of being rusty on both sides? You see this total right now sitting at 49.5. That just feels too high for me. So you got a new head coach in Jesse Minter in Baltimore and what they're going to be trying to do. And with the Colts, I would think it's a lot of run. Let's not expose Daniel Jones and those legs right away after the, you know, we just talked about those gruesome injuries he had a year ago. Tried to play through a broken leg until the Achilles. I'm kind of with you. I do lean towards that under. Don't have any plays in pocket yet here, people. But at 49.5, I would feel that number might come down. Look, we do a great job, I think, as a network. Shout out to Matt Eumanns. I think he's really good, too, at breaking down preseason football. And you mentioned it, Jensen. If he plays with Shane Steichen, that would mean the starters would play for a series because you're not going to put Daniel Jones out there unless you're putting out your offensive linemen out there, the first teamers, and you might be able to find some edges in the preseason, even if it's a first half play, if they decide to go down that road. So that's why it's incumbent to know what these teams are trying to do before you get to that week one matchup against the Ravens. But I think that's a very astute observation. Do we believe in curses, like Madden curses? Are they real, Jensen? We'll talk about those and who's on the cover this year when you come back with us right here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
$30 million in guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season in Las Vegas with three Circa Sports contests. Entries start at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, that's 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Jensen and I included in that grouping. Circa Survivor, pick one winner every week, and the last one standing wins. And how about Circa Grandissimo? This is for the high rollers out there. It's a $100,000 entry. You have to enter in Nevada, play from anywhere in the United States. 30 milli guaranteed. Visit circasports.com for all of said details. Going to talk a little bit more, certainly a lot more Major League Baseball on this show today. Marco Romanel did tweet into us at JLou50 at DRawSports. Already bet the Yankees to make the playoffs. Look at that price. Marco got it at plus 2980. So, Jensen, we've already seen some shortening in the marketplace. And look, to me, at that point, if you can get almost 30-1 out there, I think you just doing due diligence on a good number to play, and then maybe you can come back the other way if things start to change. But Jensen, you know, we saw 18-1 out there at DraftKings this morning. If you can get those numbers that Marco got, I think it'd be worth a shot at this juncture, right?
I agree. I'm thinking about it. And again, this is also going to be predicated off of next Monday. I asked Will Hill yesterday, you know, what do you do as far as future bets moving forward here? I usually, Dave, will be one to wait until after that deadline has passed because I want to see it. I may not get the better of the number, but at least now I have a clear, hey, the door is closed. You can't bring anyone else in. This is your team moving forward. All you can do is promote from within. So that still remains a hard and fast rule that I will have. And I think I'm going to wait to see what moves Brian Cashman does or does not make once we get to Monday afternoon.
I think you made a great point earlier in the program. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. Listen on your time when you mentioned the protection now for Ben Rice. And that's what we're talking about. Without Bellinger, without Aaron Judge, you have to go fortify. That's the protection now. It's for Ben Rice, who used to be the guy providing the protection. Now you got to protect Ben Rice in that lineup, or else you can pitch around that kid. And he's been really, really good for the Pinstripers this year. I don't know. Do you believe in curses, Jensen, just in the short term? Like, I don't know if it's superstitious, if it's cursed, that sort of thing in the betting market. Like, I kid that I'm not superstitious, but I always feel like if I'm watching a putt on TV and it's lined up a different way, I'm like, oh, he's going to miss it. And it has no bearing, but it's just my eyesight on the TV that I'm watching. So I know people have crazy superstitions out there. Are you at least a little stitious or no? I'm an athlete and we're going to let the play decide. There's nothing to do with anything else.
Oh, I'm the worst. I'm a former athlete, so we are all superstitious. there are levels to this, and I think that your fan being a Cleveland fan, Dave, remember, we still have the curse of Rocky Calavito. We still have the catch of Willie Mays in center field when that team for the Indians got swept in the World Series. So yeah, there's still and the Browns. I don't know, Dave, in my lifetime if I'll see them get to a Super Bowl, but this is again one of those spots where when you look at certain things to buy into, the Madden curse is, yes. I think it's still somewhat there, and I'd have to go back through the covers and really do some due diligence on, because it used to be like, okay, it was a season ending injury. Doesn't matter when it's going to happen. Right. And it would be usually within the first half of the season. So I think this year, as Joe Friso has pointed out to us, it's Caleb Williams on the cover of Madden. Does that mean we fade the Chicago Bears this year?
I mean, I might have been fading the Bears before I heard about the Madden curse and that he's going to be on the cover. But, like, you know, look, those things do not matter, people. We say this tongue-in-cheek. But I know that people are like, oh, man, you're going to put Caleb on the cover. We've seen all the injuries, as you alluded to, the guys that have been on there. I guess it's not necessarily a curse when you look at the 99 club. And this is something I'm sure that the players, I don't know if it means something to them. They might take a little bit of pride in this. So to be in that, quote-unquote, 99 club in the awards odds, to win those things, you look at MVP, say for Josh Allen at plus 650, offensive player of the year. Again, different markets, but you can give one, maybe not both. We have seen Patrick Mahomes win both of these awards before, 80-1 for offensive player of the year. There's Stafford again, 9-1 to get the MVP again, offensive player of the year, 200-1. There's Jamar Chase, 10-1 for offensive player of the year, because normally give those to wide receivers, running backs, that sort of thing. MVP is the long shot for a wide receiver at 100-1. JSN, what a year he had. Offense player of the year, 18-1 this year. MVP is 100-1. Trey McBride's in that 99 club. Wow, didn't see that coming. 70-1 for offensive player of the year, 500-1 for MVP. And there's Myles Garrett in his new place in LA as defensive player of the year is 4-1. MVP, 100-1, which is, I'd like to start the conversation right there. Do we eschew defensive players? I do believe the last defensive player to win MVP, if my mind is correct, is Lawrence Taylor back in 1986. I got to check that, make sure nobody else snuck in there. But it is so rare to get a defensive MVP for the entirety of the league. Is that price point even playable for you for Myles Garrett at 100-1?
He's 200-1 on DraftKings. So shop around for your best price there for, or if you want to take the ultimate long shot and have a defensive player be that most valuable player. I did write up in our VSiN NFL betting guide, Dave, Myles Garrett to win defensive player of the year. And here was kind of the gist. I said, historically, the DPOY winner generates a high amount of sacks and negative plays. That's basically Garrett this year in a nutshell, a chaos creator on every snap, leading one of the best defenses in the NFL. Is it the best defensive player on the best defensive team? I mean, there's a real shot that that could be the case with the LA Rams this year. That being said, that would be if you're going to take these six players and feel like you want to make a wager on one of those specific markets, the defensive player of the year for Myles Garrett would be the one that I would have the highest conviction in, or is be the most confident that has a chance to get home. Matthew Stafford, if I could find him in double digits for most valuable player, is interesting, but do we get lost in the, it's all the different weapons. And, you know, if you take him away, are the Rams still the Rams? And I know we can kind of say the same thing with most quarterbacks in this league that are at that echelon. Josh Allen, not a surprise, you know, where he's at this point. Jamar Chase, though, the offensive player, the wide receivers, not traditionally in that mold as far as what we usually get from running backs, both rushing and receiving. I don't think outside of Myles Garrett, DPOY, I'd be interested in any other angle, you know, with where those current numbers are. I think I would stick with just that one if I had to be forced to bet one.
It's interesting, too, in that voter fatigue for Matty Stafford. Could he do it two in a row? Again, what was he, 37 last year when he won the MVP, and he won it by 5 points over Drake May, one of the tightest ballots we've ever seen in that market. So, you know, I wonder if they'd say, all right, let's give it to somebody else. But it's weird. It shouldn't matter who won it the year before. It shouldn't just matter on the numbers this year. But sometimes that can be a real thing. And again, shout out to Joe Friso, our producer. Alan Page also has won the defensive MVP before. That was back in 1971 with the Purple People Eaters, the Minnesota Vikings. So, yes, Lawrence Taylor is the last guy to do it in 86 with the G-men, but Alan Page also did it. But it shows you how rare it is in the history of the league. Back before it became a quarterback-only award, and that's what it feels like these days for the majority, that it's only happened those two times in 71 and 86. So, I think the narrative would be there for a guy like Myles Garrett. And I love the number at 200-1. If you're going to play it and you can find that long shot, maybe pizza money bet there, because it would be a narrative derivative there of like, okay, he's leading the Rams. Stafford takes a step back. The offense is still good, but they're great. And now the defense is great. And he's the difference. I mean, it still seems like a long stretch to get there for a defensive guy to do that. JSN in Seattle. Incredible breakout year. Remember, and we were talking about this time last year, it's the reason why I like them, because he was going to be wide receiver one, really going from a slot guy, and they traded away everybody else. Remember, they had moved on, obviously, in the offseason from wide receivers one and two, and then you're like, well, they just have JSN, and he blossomed in that role as the number one. Can he replicate that, Jensen? I think he caught people by surprise, at least at the beginning of the year. I got to think, if you're playing Seattle this year, I got to take away JSN, especially when Kenneth Walker is no longer in the backfield.
So I just put together a little three-leg parlay. Jackson Smith and Jigba, Jamar Chase, and Trey McBride to all have at least 1,000 receiving yards this year, Dave, on DraftKings is plus $1.41. I would rather the sum of the parts than kind of pick one of those guys out. You know that JSN is going to be a focal point of defenses. Same with Jamar Chase and Trey McBride. Now, let's see what Jacoby Brissett and how long he is the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals and what that production could correlate to. But that, for going season long, I'd rather err on the 1,000-yard receiving seasons from those three guys.
If you can book me for at least 16 starts out of 17 games for those three guys, that's going to cash. As long as those guys are out there, they're going to get there. So injury would be the only thing that I think could slow those guys down at that price point. Nothing slows down Greg Peterson. We know that. He's on next, giving us his baseball picks. It's VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue the Tuesday morning edition of VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. And on Tuesdays, we look forward to our conversation with Greg Peterson. He is the host of VSiN Coast to Coast Hoops podcast. That's why we call him Hoops. But he's also a genius when it comes to Major League Baseball. He hosts the Baseball Betting Show. You can give him a follow on X at GUnit_81. And kind enough to join us this morning here in the Progressive Guest Line. Greg, I asked you because if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network on YouTube television, you've got quite the tan going. And you will not, when you run your miles and miles and miles every day, you do not wear a hat out there in that Vegas sun, correct?
No, I am not a hat guy whatsoever. I do not look good in a hat. The only hat I wear is the Texas Roadhouse hat that they sent me in the mail a few months ago whenever I eat my meals there. That is the only hat that I will wear. I am a no hat guy. And well, if I wore a hat, I would be right now having a very, very big giant hat sunline. Or whatever they call it, a tan line. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, tan line.
Either way, no sun can keep you down. And obviously, right. We've got a little desert sun for you. We might have the Diamondbacks getting burnt here in the Steel City. They were yesterday. All kinds of opportunities for Arizona to win this thing in extra innings. They could not get it done against Mason Montgomery. Pirates walk it off 3-2. Do we ride that momentum, GP, headed into game two tonight? Pivotal series for both these clubs fighting for those final wild card spots.
I like what you did there with the Diamondbacks getting burnt, and I think that they do. Like, Bubba Chandler has been giving up about 5 walks per 9 innings, but he's rounding into form. He's given up 2 earned runs or fewer in 5 out of his last 7 starts. So, to the crowd, Brian Fight fought. All of a sudden, he has given up in his last 5 starts 7 runs. So, he's been in better form, but for the Pittsburgh Pirates, his team is number one in all baseball. In terms of run creation at home, about 5.5 to 5.6 runs per game at home. We saw them struggle a little bit with their offense on Monday. I think that comes to the plate on Tuesday. You do have a Pirates team that's been a little bit cheeky on the bullpen, but for the Diamondbacks, they themselves have not necessarily been getting a lot of great bullpen pitching as well over the last few days. I think they get a high-scoring game. I like the over. Love the way that Bubba Chandler is rounding into form, so give me the Pirates here on the money line.
Like the use of cheeky in there, Greg. The Marlins got their first win in seemingly forever, at least since the All-Star break, breaking that 12-game skid. Had to do it in dramatic fashion and get it done late against the Phils. Can they actually, dare I say, start a winning streak today?
And I guess you could say the Marlins have been floundering recently, and I think that stops here. And for Aaron Nola, you want to talk about someone who's floundering. Man, a 5.82 ERA right now. And he's giving up 2.1 home runs per 9 innings. I've believed that for years. And Aaron Nola has been quite overvalued. He certainly has been this season. And for Miami, Sandy Alcantara is not the guy that he once was. He's only getting about 6.9 strikeouts per 9 innings. So he needs to up that a little bit. But still does a solid job, not hurting himself. 1.1 home runs, 2.4 walks. For 9 innings, it's a Marlins team that doesn't really generate a lot of hard contact in terms of home runs, but they're a top 5 team in terms of stolen bases, 3 different guys. They give you at least 18 stolen bases. I think they mix and match their way to victory, like the 8 over, and I do like the Fisher on the money line.
All right, very good. We've got a guy that might be in a different uniform here come trade deadline time next week. And Greg, Shane Bieber, who has actually looked really good in his last 3 starts, going to continue that audition in Nats Park later on tonight. I thought we were destined for an over with old Max Scherzer on the mound last night, 1,000,000 pitches in 3 innings, but somehow, some way, keeps the league's highest scoring offense at bay. Do we finally get... And Dustin Sweetelson, cover your ears. Do we get positive regression today as far as scoring goes in this matchup?
Yeah, and I was in on that over yesterday as well, and I'm going right back to the over, and I'm going right back to the Nationals on the money line. Love what I've seen out of Kate Cavalia as well. A 3.58 ERA, fielding independent that's below a 3.25, 10.7 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's giving up less than 0.8 home runs per 9, and for our good friend Shane Bieber, it's been Despacito. It's not been great, to say the least. Man, he is posting up an ERA that is above a 4.50. He's giving up darn near 2 home runs per 9 innings. He's been a little bit fortunate in his last few starts, and the swing and miss stuff just is not there the way that it was in the past. For the Blue Jays, they had to use a lot of that bullpen because you mentioned the way that Max Scherzer weaseled his way out yesterday. He only went 2 2/3 innings. That means that this bullpen is incredibly taxed. Nationals, they themselves are a bottom five team in terms of bullpen ERA. Something's got to give. You've got the highest scoring offense in all of baseball and the lowest scoring offense in all of baseball. I personally took a shot here on the over and the Nationals on the money line.
We all know who the hottest team in the American League is in all of baseball, really. That's the Boston Red Sox. But don't look now. Or you can look. The Royals are the second hottest team in the American League, Greg. They've won 7 of the last 10 all of a sudden. Can they make it 3 in a row and really maybe throw a monkey wrench into the Twins' plans? Because it looks like Minnesota wants to be buyers now as they gear up for the second stretch run.
And they're doing it without Bobby Witt Jr. as well, which is absolutely hilarious, by the way. I think that that comes to an end here, though. Taj Bradley, he has not been playing games recently. 2 earned runs or fewer allowed in 5 out of his last 7 starts. He's rounding into really good form. And for the Kansas City Royals, I do think they get a solid start here from Seth Lugo. He's a guy that just does a solid job in terms of not beating himself. He'll post up like a 4.30 or so ERA, 1 home run, 3 walks per 9 innings, just a steady Eddie 5-6 innings, inning eater sort of guy. And we're both, these bullpens, they have both been awful. They are a bottom 7 team. Each of these teams are in terms of bullpen ERA. I do like both of these starters here. I do think that they do just enough for the under. If I had to play a side here, I would look at the Twins on the money line. I can't quite get there on the run line because, again, bullpen not necessarily great to say the least, but I do think that you get a low scoring game here, so I'm in on that total to the under, especially with Royals last in the big leagues in terms of run creation away from up less than 3.7 runs per game.
Greg, you don't have to reiterate to me how ridiculous bullpen implosions have been. Yesterday, a horror show for Philadelphia and also in Anaheim. You give up 4 in the 9th. It is the 9th time that the Angels have blown a lead when winning or at least leading after 8 innings. They do it again yesterday. Not that I'm coming out of retirement anytime soon here, but dear God, do we have confidence to run it back with the Halos after what they had from an implosion standpoint yesterday?
Oh, I guess it was in on the Angels yesterday. Me. Like, man, that was absolutely awful to say the least. Fortunately, I think that we get more length here out of Reed Detmers, who, he's got an ERA of a 4.05. Fielding independent is nearly a point lower. 10.2 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's allowing only 1 home run per 9. So he's been able to do a solid job there. And when it comes to Sasser's team, they are a top-heavy team with that lineup. So you do have to have some question marks there. Peter Lambert has actually been really good this year for the Astros as well. He's got a 3.03 ERA, but the 3.5 walks per 9 innings, that's a little bit of an issue. Astros have actually been much better with their bullpen recently. And going into yesterday, the Angels were actually a top 10 team in terms of bullpen ERA since June 1st, which that made me chuckle because you just knew that the air was going to be let out of that balloon sooner or later. But that said, both of these teams are in a little bit of better form with that bullpen. I do think, though, that the Angels get a good start here out of Reed Detmers. They get to Peter Lambert. So I'm taking the Angels here on the money line.
Greg, I've been watching this Padres team very closely the last couple weeks, and it feels like they're starting to be in prime position to make a run. The schedule might be doing them some favors as well with the Rockies coming to town here. You want to stay hot here against Colorado. Do they keep this good vibes feeling going in San Diego?
And you've got Michael Lorenzen on the bump as well, which he's had a no good, very bad, terrible season, posting up an ERA above a 6. Giving up over 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. And I will say this for the Rockies. The road offense has been much better this year. Typically, they're like a bottom 5 team in terms of offense away from home. Hunter Goodman has been a very good man, giving you 30-plus home runs this season. So I've been liking that. But, man, it's just still hard to be able to trust in this Rockies bullpen that they themselves are in the bottom 5 in terms of ERA. That said, with Michael King, less than 8 strikeouts per 9 innings, 3.7 walks per 9. So I think that you get a high scoring affair. I do think that the Padres win this game by multiple runs. I know that it's been rough for this Padres offense overall this season, but post all-star break, they've been in the upper half of the big leagues in terms of run creation. So took the Padres on the run line. And I do like this total to the over.
Greg, last one from me with about 30 seconds. If there wasn't a Texas Roadhouse, what would bring you happiness on the restaurant front?
Woo. That is a good question. I am a seafood guy personally. I absolutely love me some seafood and anything from the state of Wisconsin. There's a place called Big Dogs that they're a good brewery out here. They've got cheese curds, walleye. So good Wisconsin food and seafood. That does it for me.
I mean, Wisconsin, Vegas, he is the man of the people. GUnit underscore 81 on Twitter. Check him out. He'll be running and documenting that. It's amazing what you do, Greg. I am blown away by it. Great stuff. Appreciate your time. As always, Bo Bishop's going to join the program in the very next hour, talking all things Cleveland Browns post Myles Garrett. It's all straight ahead right here on VSiN.